You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
And you're recording?
Mm-hmm.
And Nate, you got it?
All right. I thought you were doing the beat.
Oh, okay. So I didn't know if you were going to start first or you want me to start. I'll start. So, all right.
I mean, I could start. You want me to? All right. This week on CBS, the premiere of Two and a Half Christs.
Christ.
Why does this sound better than anything else on CBS?
Because I guess Peter Dinklage and Walton Goggins are in it, and that's a and Bradley Whitford. No slouch on him.
Walton Goggins is moving to network television lately, so I wouldn't be surprised if this got pitched there somewhere.
Oh God, I forgot he did. This is getting more and more depressing as we go.
Yeah, because he's on that the Unicorn or something like that. That show.
Yeah, which I hear is good, but you know, hopefully it is because he's a good people, even if Three Christ is not that great.
Yeah, that's a bit of a bummer, and I'm not terribly surprised. So yeah, first of all, hey everybody, we're talking about not actually Two and a Half Christs, but that sounds cool. But no, this is Three Christs. This is a new movie from John Avnet, and you say, who is that? He was the guy way back in the day who directed Fried Green Tomatoes. But he's also well known as a big producer. He did Risky Business, Less Than Zero, but unfortunately also did 88 Minutes and Righteous Kill. So
scattershot at best. Gotcha.
Yeah, but then he's also done Justified and Sneaky Pete, so he's done at least a couple shows people fairly like, you know?
Justified is incredible. One of the best shows of the decade. Just gotta bring that up, because...
And that explains why Walton Goggins is in this movie, too.
I was about to say, I now get that.
And honestly, the biggest get out of this movie. I don't know about you guys, who is your favorite Christ?
Richard Gere.
You mean the actor who has the personality of Wet Sand?
No, Wet Sand sounds more lively than Richard Gere, actually.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. So, again, as to the tradition lately, I'm very busy. I'm actually packing for a move, so I've not been able to watch as much as everybody else has. But we have three people here who did watch this. We got Ben.
Hi.
We got Nathan.
Hola.
And then Nathan brought in somebody here. We got Alex on the review, too.
Hi.
Now, come on, lively, Alex. Hey!
Sorry. Hello.
No, the audience loves a breathy hi.
No. They don't like that anymore. I got too many complaints after my U review.
What are you watching tonight?
You want me to watch you.
You want to come over and watch me watch Three Christs?
Does it make you feel spiritual?
It makes me feel alive.
Yeah, that reminds me of a joke from Tosh, Daniel Tosh, is, women like to go, I'm spiritual, and I all like to go, I'm not honest, but you're interesting.
Oh, brother.
I'm sorry.
What is this about? Because I know this is actually based on a book that was published back in, the 60s, I think. What is this about, everybody?
Richard Gere is playing in this Dr. Alan Stone, though he's based off Dr. Rokic, which I'm going to imagine that's how you pronounce that. But basically, he was a psychiatrist who basically said, I think everything that we do for mental health in asylums is goddamn terrible, because it was all drug them like crazy, and then if they act up, electrocute them, which, let's be honest, probably doesn't work. So he was one of those guys who everybody's like, well, you're crazy, that's never gonna work, that, you know, you're just spitting in the face of medicine. But
haven't lobotomy has been proven to help things?
I mean, things. Yeah, it helps. Yes. It can help with some things, but it is also literally taking an ice pick to, you know, a case where you might just, you know, be better to, you know, talk with people and sequester them. And that was kind of the idea here. And basically, as he was working at a mental hospital, kind of covering for someone, because he was a professor, saw this man who thought he was Christ. And just talking with him, he kind of, you know, got to understand him a bit and found it very intriguing. And then found out there was another guy there that thought he was Christ and that they didn't quite get along. And he said, this could be a cool study. Let's find a third guy who thinks he's Christ, put them all in a room, and see if we can get them to talk and talk out this issue. Maybe at least one of them will start to go, maybe I'm not Christ because these two are crazy, so I can't be Christ if I'm around these guys.
Or it could go horribly wrong, just thinking.
Which or one of them could be right. Movie.
I mean, I always think Peter Dinklage is God, so who knows?
Yeah. Well, I was on the Walton Goggins camp.
Camp? Keep?
I don't know. Keep? Walton Goggins was really, really, really concerned about a moist vagina. That doesn't sound like Christ to me.
Oh. I mean, I don't know Jesus, what God maybe. You're praying to, man, but...
Now, oh, this is going to be so blasphemous. I love it.
It was like a thunderdome.
I'm so glad we got you on this review, Justin, on a very blasphemous review when you didn't even see the movie.
I've been through worse. But, yeah, so what is this movie like? Like, good things, bad things? Who wants to start?
Well, I think we should start by addressing the main draw of the movie, which is the fantastic cast. You got pretty much a cast of people who are just well-seasoned character actors. You got Richard Gere, who, as I said, wet sand. But
I said like him, but no, he's definitely the least interesting person in this cast.
Oh, yeah. Peter Dinklage. You got Walton Goggins. You got Bradley Whitford. You got Charlotte Hope, who I guess is on Game of Thrones. Alex was telling me that.
Oh, well, yeah. She was Ramsay Bolton's girlfriend.
Oh, that girl who got thrown off the balcony. Yeah.
Yeah, I forget a lot of characters from that
show. She was so much nicer in this.
You've got Julianne Margulies being completely wasted.
Yes. Her entire
like, so is she like is
sucked.
She a wife character in this one or
yeah
and she is the most stereotypical wife in a movie with a guy who's passionate about his work we'll ever see.
Yeah,
but the problem is she's not bad about it. It's there's like one scene where she's supposed to be, and it's just because she thinks that he's cheating on her with his assistant. But there's only one scene of evidence for that. Then he's like, hey, you got really drunk, you're never doing that again. That's her last scene in the movie where she says a line.
Moving on though. Although I will agree, yeah. They wasted Julianna Margulies, who I absolutely love.
Well,
Kevin Pollak.
Love him.
Stephen Root.
Who's great in everything.
Who's fantastic in everything. And then you got Jane Alexander, who's pretty great as well. And then outside of that, a bunch of kind of no names.
Pretty much.
Well, I was going to say, aren't you missing... shit, my brain just blanked on it. It's not showing up on Wikipedia. Kevin Pollak, didn't you say?
No,
you
said
yeah,
Pollak.
I said Kevin Pollak.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, no, Kevin Pollak definitely gets a mention.
Okay, I love Kevin Pollak, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to see him get, you know, back in the spotlight because of Mrs. Maisel. But, like, would you say anyone really stands out among the cast here in particular, or...?
Everybody playing the Christ is pretty good. The Jesus Thrice are really good in this movie.
Yeah, the Holy Trinity of this movie really is the Christ.
Yes.
I'm sorry, come on.
How many Christ puns are we going to do?
Threes is Christ. Anyways.
Look, they're the lifeblood and the body of this movie.
Yes. And it's the worst part that you have all these great character actors coming together. And, you know, it's like, all throughout it, Richard Gere is like, you know, what would happen if we get three people who all believe that they're Jesus Christ in a room together, and it's like a 6 out of 5 movie? I buried the lead. But still.
I mean, that's pretty honest. Like, there's nothing inherently bad about this movie, but it just kind of wastes so much talent, so many scenes. Like, you know, again, Julianne Margulies, she's not terrible in this movie, but they give her 3 scenes where she actually does anything, and they're not super dynamic scenes, so she doesn't get to do much. You know, Stephen Root is kind of just like his friend who is doing really good Stephen Root work. You know, Kevin Pollak is the, you know, the guy who's kind of a schlubby, you know, guy running the asylum who wants fame and is kind of a tool, but also, you know, just there. It's like, guys, you're wasting so many good, like, side characters here that, you know, maybe you should have just gotten worse actors for them or less notable actors.
Yeah, you get like Pauly Shore to play one of them or something. I don't know.
Oh my God, that would have been amazing. I don't want you working with those Christ, buddy.
Yo, gonna get a little juice for the Jesus.
All right, put three character actors together and recast three Christs. Everybody go. Round table.
I don't have that kind of brain power right now.
You don't have Christopher Walken on your mind?
Dude, get three Chris's. Chris Evans, Chris Pratt, and Christopher Walken.
Oh my God. Oh my God, three Chris's.
Chris Pratt's almost I'm Jesus. There in real life. I heal God. You.
That would be so much better.
Can we sub out Chris Evans and just get Chris Cox?
I do have to say, in this movie, as far as the Christs go, I think it's great because they did a good job making sure they were all very different, diametrically opposed interpretations of Christ and his people, which is very interesting. Dinklage is kind of that very austere and assured of himself type of guy, which is kind of like what you would picture somebody who thinks their Christ would be. And again, it's Dinklage. He has that kind of gravitas for that. Goggins is really great because he's that guy who really is like, you know, at some points he seems stable, but then when you see, you know, where he's messed up, you're like, oh, you have some real issues. Gotcha. And then Bradley Whitford is pretty much just completely, I'd almost say he's kind of wasted. Like, he gets points for going for this role, but he's so just, he's the guy who's like completely lost it and, you know, can't do real social interactions. And his schizophrenia, like, presents itself in that he just smells what he says is the smell of the rotting fetus of his aborted daughter, which is, it's a real thing that people with schizophrenia can think, but it's also like, you know, they basically just have him babbling to the point where it didn't have to be a great character actor to be doing this role.
Yeah. He just kept repeating that he was not of Nazareth. That's what separates him from the other Jesuses.
Well, that, and he's a really big fan of jingles, which I can't fault him for that. 50s jingles were great.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, he goes full crazy person in the way that you'd expect, like, I don't know, of a lesser actor. As much as I do think he is one of the better parts of the movie, I mean, all Jesus thrice are, praise be to Bradley Whitford, Walton Goggins, and Peter Dinklage, but Bradley Whitford is definitely the weakest out of the thrice.
Yeah, and it's really not his fault. It's clear there wasn't much else to the character, and he gets points for doing his best with it and giving it his all, but yeah, just, it's like, you could have done anyone in that role and it really went to
well, so the thing that, about Bradley okay. Whitford is he's better at being sort of a straight man who's got crazy elements than a crazy man.
Yeah.
Or a potential villain like Get Out or something like that. So.
Right, yeah. That, or I really fell in love with Bradley Whitford watching The West Wing, and he's so good at
it.
Because his character is so neurotic, and he just nails it, and then he has those really emotional moments where he just realizes about like how traumatized he is from the death of his sister and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, you're a great actor, so why aren't you being used like a great actor in this movie when they got you?
I thought
that if Goggins and Whitford had the opposite roles, it may have turned out better, because I feel like Bradley Whitford can deliver that same Socratic dialogue that Goggins was delivering, but Goggins has this sort of intensity that you need for someone who's as far off the deep end as Whitford was.
Yeah, I can see that, because Goggins has played deranged quite a bit.
Yeah, that man is deranged.
Well, so is it that the movie's not like funny enough or not serious enough? Like, what kind of tone is it trying to present those characters with?
I guess it strikes a good balance, I would say. I mean, the balance is more from the performances than the directing.
Yeah, it's a really good mix, actually, because, you know, when you get them together, there's a lot of great humor because, you know, they're not playing up their mental illness as a joke in any way. You know, there's scenes that are funny with it, but, you know, even, you know, people who have mental illness and have, you know, social interactions will even say, it's like, no, I know some of this is kind of funny. You know, it's not done to, like, punching down humor. It's just, like, it's situationally funny. And it's meant to be that way, and it can be that way in real life, and I appreciated that. But then there's also the times where it gets super serious, like, you know, say what you will about Gear being the weakest actor in this movie or weakest performance, you know, you get connected with these other characters the same way he does and understand his connection and his emotional reaction to, you know, negative things happening to them or positive things. And that's really something I think this is to the movie's credit, actually.
Yeah, no, that I would say is the biggest strength of the film, is that you actually do get wrapped up in all the characters and you definitely get the vibe that Richard Gere cares about them. I mean, I was just sort of giving him shit for most of his career. Gere has some great moments in this. He just sort of goes on autopilot for most of the film, though.
Yeah, that, I can definitely give you that. And I will say, the biggest thing that I think is the issue with this movie is, one, it's kind of oddly paced, where they clearly want to do more scenes with the Christ, but then they also realize they have to do their story, and then they focus almost too much on Kevin Pollak's character trying to start undermining Gere to take control, which, yes, is very critical to where it concludes, but it also was like, you guys, you didn't have to spend this much time building that up.
It feels so cliched when it happens.
Yeah. I felt I felt like their whole, we've got three Jesuses in a room, is super tangential and unnecessary to what, I guess their ultimate goal is to show how bad electroshock therapy was.
Yeah.
Those didn't seem to link up by the end.
It's, the point was to try to show that, you know, you can understand, you know, people even if they are deluded and be kind to them, which is the importance of this study, in that it can have positive impacts where they can be more functional people because of it. But I will also say, like, you know, you get that pretty much last scene where, you know, he's saying, you know, we're going to move the study type of thing. Is like, it's a beautifully shot scene. It's a great setting and all that. But one, it really takes Whitford's character again out of being any part of the focus, where they basically say, like, you're not really with us enough to make a decision, which kind of feels, again, cheating him. And then they also then have Goggins' character, where it's like, I like that connection, but then also you stop for a moment because they hold on that scene too long, where you go, like, why are you on a frozen lake? Is something bad going to happen? Oh, I guess not.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty setting for a great shot, and there's a lot of emotion in there, but it all feels like there's emotion in the scene because, hey, this is the scene where there's emotion that needs to come out of it.
So it feels very, like, artificial or very kind of old.
Yeah,
like
every that. And the thing is, you can tell that all the actors consider it to be genuine. It's just, honestly, it's the editing and the directing of the movie that it just moves at a very weirdly artificial pace.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because the guy who wrote this is, well, he's an Armenian. His name's Eric Nazarian. I don't know if I'm related to him or not, but this is like his only real... this is his only real major credit. He's done like a couple other movies and some short films, but honestly, I haven't seen anything else that would really stand out. But it...
Is he from Nazareth?
Oh, God.
There we go!
Four Christ. That's the plot twist. There's four Christ. It's like Six Underground. There are,
I mean,
seven
members. There is kind of four Christ if you pay attention to the movie.
Yeah. No. There is to some extent, yeah.
Yeah, but no, it seems like there was a lot of, like, lack of confidence film, because this actually sat on a shelf for 3 years. It was presented at TIFF in 2017, and only now is getting distribution, so that's usually not a good sign.
It honestly, I think it would have done fine in theaters, especially with the cast, especially in January, when there's nothing coming out except for the remainders from Oscar season, and this would have been the thing more people saw than the Oscar bait that, you know, had rolled over. And honestly, it's not a bad movie, but yeah, it's basically paced like your average, like, Hallmark or ABC Family movie of the week version of this. It's better acted, and I'd say still maybe a little bit better directed, but it's basically that level of movie.
All right. Well, Alex, I mean, since you've been a little quiet back there, any other big points, like whether positive or negative, you want to say about this?
I don't know. It all seemed a bit lukewarm outside of the Christly performances.
Divine acting.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I feel like they wasted Margulies, as you said. I mean, I felt like they could have had Richard Gere go home and talk to his wife about it and get more out of conversation with her about it instead of being like, oh, it's work and work sucks.
Yeah, especially when they make the point that they met because she used to be his research assistant, so clearly she's very knowledgeable about psychiatry.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
They even joke that she's a lot smarter than him.
That love triangle went nowhere. I mean, I guess it wasn't really much of a love
triangle.
There's
a love triangle in this?
No.
It's not really
yeah, between three Christs.
the love Trinity, triangle, if you will.
The love triangle is basically his assistant, Becky, comes in. And she's definitely a bit enamored with him because he's a compassionate, brilliant man. And she has some, you know, interest in him, but she also never tries to push a boundary. Like, and there's the one scene where Julia Margulies comes to see him because it's the one day ever she comes to visit him at clinic. And it's, of course, when Becky says, look, you took LSD and you think it opened your mind to your patients. Can I try it? And, of course, as she's having a freak out, she's, you know, trying to, you know, center herself using his face, and she comes and is like, oh God, my husband has an interest in this woman and she has an interest in him. And it's like, but then that never plays out except for one scene later where Margulies comes home drunk and kind of is like, you know, I used to be his assistant like you, and then she passes out, and that's her last scene. Again, it's a lot of built up tension. That's why I said it's like it's paced like a Hallmark movie. Those scenes don't need to be there. You could leave out his wife, and honestly, it wouldn't have hurt the movie in any way. In fact, it could have helped it because it would have had more time for, you know, this narrative with Kevin Pollak and the Christ to actually have any weight or any purpose.
That's a bummer because I remember seeing the trailer, and unfortunately, I did feel like all those things might be present, but I hope that something might have been better in the film itself. But that's a bummer to hear that.
There's enough in the movie that's worth seeing, but it's not enough for me to fully recommend it. I guess that more goes into final thoughts, but yeah.
Yeah, well, if you want, you can just segue right into the final thoughts there with that.
I guess I will start. I'll give this 6 Shockey Boys out of 10. I think it's got some great performances. I think it's, you know, it's an interesting enough movie, and it has a great cast. It just sort of goes on autopilot for a while, and it's like Alex said, it's very lukewarm. I can't fully recommend it, but if you're interested in these actors and if you're a, you know, filmography completist, like, you can put this on the Goggins stack next to G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Oh, right, he was in that.
Yeah, and he's great in it.
Well, I mean, and this is coming out in theaters and on VOD, so I'm sure that's probably where you can get it easily. Just like, yeah, it's like a rental on a VOD pretty much, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, fair enough. Alex, why don't you go ahead then?
I'd probably give it somewhere between a 6 or a 7 out of 10, and the only records they broke were Peter Dinklage's.
What?
Oh, God.
In the movie, he loves his opera records and simply insists they play them all the time, and there's one scene where he has a meltdown because they're broken.
I don't know what she was singing about, but it sure was beautiful.
Oh, God.
Tell me you guys weren't all thinking it.
I kind of was.
Yeah, in that moment, they all felt free.
Ah, Shawshank humor, I love it. This is my kind of people right here with you guys. then Ben.
Yeah, you know, we kind of covered this movie pretty in depth about what it is. I can definitely say, yeah, if you have any interest in it, there's no harm at all in, you know, seeking it out. I wouldn't pay, like, a full movie theater price for it. But I would definitely say, you know, if it's like on Amazon for like $5, you know, which a lot of times new movies are, and you had an interest, yeah, I'd say that, or, you know, definitely otherwise wait for it to be on like Netflix or something like that. It's a fine movie. It's really solid performances, if not good performances from everybody. It's just nothing is great in it. It's not paced or, you know, structured well. Yeah, at best, I'm going to give it 6.5 out of 10 showers that go on way too long.
True.
Well, if only this got some more product placement, then we could have done 3 Sprites instead.
Oh, come on. We're not ending on that joke. That
you're
going to
make me. You're going to make me pretty cross with that kind of joke.
Oh! All right, fine. I'll take a sabbatical from these reviews.
Ooh. Mm. Ugh. I wouldn't pay more than $1 per Christ for this movie.
Can't beat that kind of value.